to the sky, way up on high, there in the night, stars on a ride, beyond the past, now then at last, prison walls break, old men's away, they will return, mankind will learn, new kinds of fear, when they are here,
they will reclaim, all in their name, hopes turn to black, when they come back, ignorant fools, mankind are rules, where they will be, it's this against stars, perfect footing, boiling and churning, food on returning, season of doom,
scary, 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 scary solstice, very, very, very scary solstice, up from the sea, from underground, down from the sky, they're all gone, they will return, mankind will learn new kinds of fear when they are here. Up to the sky, way up on high, there in the night, stars on a ride, beyond the past, now then at last, prison walls break, old ones awake.
Madness will reign, terror and pain, woes without end, where they extend, people are fools, mankind are rules, where they will live, blessedness again, stars, perfect burning, all in a tune, load of returning season of doom.
Scary, 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 scary solstice, very, very, very scary solstice,
the law of the country.
American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men, and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Tuesday, November 22nd, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep for Corporate Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening to this broadcast, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me. Oh, God. You cannot eat chocolate-covered... Oh, that is what you get for eating chocolate-covered coffee beans before you start doing the show. Let me tell you, you gotta really make sure you keep track of what's going on with your chocolate-covered coffee beans. But this would be Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep for Corporate Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening to this broadcast, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, and you can get to my live journal by going to Sean. _Kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Osprey Radio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, and SRN1. And you are free to distribute this broadcast any way that you see fit. Now, the other night, I went out and checked out a really cool movie called Good Night and Good Luck, and a very cool film about... Pretty much, I mean, without giving too much away, it's a historical piece about, you know, McCarthyism, which is everyone's all afraid of communism. You know, it's like this, the commies were everywhere, this dirty, stinking commies. And the big thing was that people were being thrown in jail without trial and blah, 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 blah. They had the big red scare. Very, very important film, and I recommend everybody who goes out there and sees this film. It's called Good Night and Good Luck. Very, very cool. And I'd recommend it to everyone, because that was the film that I got to see the other night. But straight off the top, we do have some feedback here regarding thought crimes. Dear Sean, thought crime is bullshit. This is in response to today's Monday's newsreel. This would be yesterday's newsreel. Just because software is on the fucking hard drive, it doesn't mean you have to run the program. Your morals and sense of right and wrong will determine how you view the media in the book. So seriously, man, thought crimes equal BS. Thank you. Oh, and I really do appreciate newsreel. I listen to it almost every day. Keep it up. And that's from Prism. Well, thank you, Prism. Now, on first approach, I would be, very inclined to agree with Prism. Obviously, you know, there is bad ideas, bad thoughts, all this kind of stuff, which, you know, I mean, all they are is just bad ideas and bad thoughts, and the individual should have the mental strength to be able to repel that kind of stuff. You know, it's not like, oh, it's like a dirty word or something like that. But when you consider, you know, like in the very basic levels, you know, hey, go kill yourself. You know, that's a bad thought, blah, blah, blah. But when you consider things like, you know, these weird religions, and when you start taking, like neolinguistic programming, NLP, right? You start applying that and start doing really funky little games with people and writing books designed, like scientifically designed, to enter thoughts into your head and things like this. This is the level that I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about, like, well, you know, just you write a bad book. I mean, God, I've written two bad books. Believe me, you know, if it was a crime, God knows I'd be in jail. What I'm just saying here is that there is, you know, should thought crimes. We've already got hate crimes, and that's a thought crime, right? You're not allowed to hate anybody. You're not allowed to talk hate speech at all on the air because, well, or anywhere. You're not allowed to spread hatred at all because, you know, that is a hate crime. So that isn't, in fact, a thought crime. So what about pedophilia, writing pedophilic stories? Is that a thought crime? I mean, it starts to get a little bit sketchy. At the very, on the beginning of it, you think, yeah, totally, Sean. I mean, you know, thought crimes are bullshit. But when you start to think about it, think about how this could be applied, run to the eventual end of it, see how people, like, take things like Scientology and concepts like that, the design to do nothing more than rip people off, you know, should these be legal? Like, should there be something in place to prevent these very dangerous and toxic memes from spreading throughout our culture? I mean, it's just a thought. I don't know the answers. It's not my job to tell you the answers. But, you know, I mean, unless I'm asked, you know, in which case we come to a situation here. Now, I have a sort yourself out here. It's kind of a long one, but I'm sure that there's other people, because I've gotten a number of letters like this. So I'm going to go with this one here. Dear Sean, this is a sort yourself out. Sort yourself out is where, of course, I give the advice on the show. So here we go. Dear Sean, I'm 19. I'm 19, almost 20 in a few months. I live in a small town, which I'm not going to mention where it is. I'm currently living with my mother, grandmother, and sister. The problem is my grandmother is the only reason we live here. Not for her, we'd be living on the streets, and sadly, that one day may become true. My grandmother is getting older, and we don't really know how long it'll be until she kicks the bucket. On top of when she passed away, she won't be giving my mother the house, even though we've been living under it most of our lives. Instead, it'll be going to some one of her asshole sons that don't give a flying fuck about her. And we have no idea about her state of being. Again, she's getting quite old, and her mind is getting worse and worse. My mother has a slightly above minimum wage job, of which she bitches about daily, but refuses to do anything to change it. She's also in debt. How great the debt, I don't really know. So we got this kind of a situation here. Now, I'm only going off the information you're giving me here. Okay. And it's your grandmother's house, right off the top. On this first paragraph, it's grandmother's house, okay, and she doesn't want to give it to you, so, you know, fair ball. I mean, it's her house, she can do what the fuck she wants with it. This being a small town, work is very hard to come by, and thus, why I'm unemployed without any mode of transportation of my own making, trying to get a job in the surrounding towns more difficult. Sadly, I'm also a high school dropout. After being held back for 3 years, I finally realized what a load of shit mass education is. Wow. Okay, so you're a high school dropout, living with, turning 20, living with your mom and sister and grandma. So I decided to leave. I decided to leave high school. Looking back on it, I was clearly a horrible mistake, and it has only made my search for a job even harder. So as you can see, living on the streets is becoming a greater reality. I don't have any real friends, and I'm a bit socially disabled. Sure, I can write up to a 50-page letter, but I couldn't speak it, which becomes greatly frustrating sometimes, also hurting through wonderful job interviews. My mother was super overprotective freak, not wanting me to live and learn from my own mistakes, but learn from her own mistakes and not allowing me to make any of my own, thus causing me to be a shut-in to a prison cell I call a home. Even now, she's still like that, making me feel I have to stay by her side at all times, taking care of her for the rest of her life. That is something I really don't look forward to doing. I lived in one state all of my life. I always wanted to see the rest of the world, but yet I live with a constant ball and chain. Okay, well, you're 20 years old, dude. You know, I mean, this ball and chain is purely a psychological thing of your own creation. So anyway, it goes on to say here, so at age 13, I finally got a computer, having a voice outside of the world last. I've had five long-distance relationships, four of them only lasting a year, and blah, 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 blah. Goes on and on, talks about his personal blah, 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 blah. All I can do is hope for the best. Here we go here. Getting down, it's a lot of personal information here, which you don't really need to hear. Let's see. Besides, if I do get a chance, it'd be nice to move to Canada, but I hear Canada's pretty nice. I'm just hoping that maybe someday I'll be able to have a fresh start in life. And it better than it is not being able to get a job is making that goal damn near impossible. Even if I really wanted to join some military service, I can't due to the fact I'm being overweight. 6'3 and 300 pounds. My options are very, 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 very limited. I really don't know what to do. I'm sure you've heard that so many times, it's not funny. My day consists of sleeping, being on the net, and looking through local papers for jobs, and smoking the occasional joint with my mom. Wow. Yes, I smoke shitty American dope that does fuck all with my mom. My only enjoyment in life is that after the many gifts the net provides, such as yourself, it's like Groundhog Day. Every day there's shit that I can do to change it, and the best I can do is wish the plane landed on my house while I'm sleeping, and this is a sad excuse for, and this sad excuse for a life. Am I really bound for ending up on the streets? I don't know my place in life, as I'm as lost as one can be. I have no idea how to find myself or what it is that I'm meant to do. As a child, I never knew what I wanted to be when I grew up, and I've grown up and still have no fucking idea what I want to be. Am I just a waste of space? I don't know what to do. I don't know who I am, and I don't know where I'm going, and I sure as fuck don't know who's coming with me. I guess I'm just looking for any help, no matter how small it is. Sorry, this was such a long email. I just needed to get everything out on my mind at once. Thank you for your time and your advice you could bring. I'm a big fan of everything you do and everything you stand for. And I'll be one of many faithful fans you'll have for a very long time to come. We are WOG, we are many, fuck with us, and you'll be hurting plenty. And that was from She K.O. Right. Okay, now, the interesting thing here is that I noticed that you have a lot of... Now, you're probably not going to be a fan of this. You're not going to like this very much at all. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that after I give you, you know, your feedback on this one here, you're probably not going to be a fan of me anymore. But, dude, everybody has a rough go, all right? A lot. Well, not everyone. No, that's not true. That's not true. There's a lot of people who don't have a rough go. There's a lot of people who have, like, you know, nice family lives. Things get handed to them. Everything's just ichiban. You are not one of those people. Now, like, on the very basic level, you need to get your fucking head straight, okay? You're overweight. You're like, I'm overweight. There's nothing I can do. I'm totally defeated. I have no idea on direction of my life. Blah. Oh, woe is me. Okay, well, great. You better get some fucking direction in your life, pal. You are going to wind up on the street. That is what is coming, okay? You are going to wind up on the fucking street. You cannot be living off of other people. You cannot allow other people to get in your fucking way. You are 6'3", you're 20 years old, you're 300 pounds. Lose some fucking weight. Go for a walk, change your diet, read all sorts of shit online, but drop your weight. Okay? You're a high school dropout, which means that in today's modern market, you're pretty much fucked for jobs. Pretty much fucked for jobs, unless you can get your GED and all the rest of it. So you're going to need to get your hands on some sort of an employment standard. So, okay, on the very base level, if you want to know how to fix this, I will tell you. Here's what you got to do. First of all, if you have some isolated space, I'm hoping you have a room. Maybe you share a room with someone. I don't know. Okay, but if you share the room with someone, I'm going to assume you have a room here. Make sure you keep your working environment clean. Get your room fucking clean. Take the posters off the walls. Get yourself sorted out. You've got to grow up right fucking now. All right? Get the shit out of the room. Clean your room as best as you can. Now, a lot of people say, Sean, clean your room. What the fuck are you thinking? Dude, when you clean... it's a very therapeutic process, and you are not going to be able to think clearly if your life is utterly cluttered. The aspect of cleaning is very therapeutic for both the mind and the body. So once you get all the shit that you don't need anymore, all the garbage, ditch it, burn it, trash it, get rid of it. Get it gone. Get yourself down to bare minimum so you know where the fuck, you know, you're at. So you can sit there and say, okay, what do I have at my potential? First thing you're going to need is the will. You're going to need the will to make your life better. This means that you get your ass out of bed, you don't spend so much time on the fucking net, and you start losing weight. Stop drinking pop, start drinking water, and walk around the block before you eat breakfast in the morning. Inside of fucking 3 months, you're going to drop all kinds of weight. Okay. Get yourself physically fit. The reason why is because every person, arguably, consists of three levels of the triangle. There's mind, body, and spirit. Maybe spirit is nothing more than your consciousness, okay? But if you work on your mind and on your body, okay, that's the neat thing about the triangle. If you work on any two, the third one will come along. So if you work on your spirit and on your mind, eventually you'll come to the conclusion that, you know what, I need to get myself in shape, so you work on your body. So if you work on your body... and you work on your mind by reading. Read everything you can get your hands on. I'm not saying you spend a lot of money. Get a fucking library card. Go down and start looking into bettering yourself books and shit like that. Load up on that stuff. You've also got to exercise. Does all kinds of shit for you. Now, from there, just from what you've told me right here, your country, because you're an American, happens to be in a really big fucking war right now. So all you got to do as an American citizen is to get yourself so you can possibly lug your ass over the very basics of physical requirements, and join the military. Now you say, dude, I don't want to join the military. Yeah, well, you got a choice here. You got the military or you got the street. Or you can find yourself some minimum wage fucking job. Now, of course, everyone's going to be sitting there going, well, Sean, holy shit, you're sending this kid to a fucking war zone. He's going to get cut in half. Well, I got news for you. With the situation this guy's got on the go here, he's already in a fucking war zone. He doesn't have a high school education in America in the 21st century. What do you suppose is going to happen to this motherfucker, huh? You think he's going to wind himself with a really sweet-ass job? Or is he going to land himself some job somewhere and, like, minimum wage, get used and lost and thrown out on the street with, absolutely fuck all? Say what you like about the military, but if you can suffer through it, it will wind up bringing you out further ahead than when you started. That is just simply a fact. Okay, now a lot of people will scream and cry, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you stand the chance of getting, getting shot, blown up, and all the rest of it. You roll the dice, you take your chances. That's how it works. But as it sits right now, the kids are coming to me looking for options. And I'll give them a bad plan today versus a good plan tomorrow. You got to fucking stop blaming other people for your shit. Your mom's all fucked up. Great, she's fucked up. You could be fucked up with your mom, too, smoking grass, going nowhere. Absolutely. Have a nice life. You know where that's going to get you. It's going to get you nowhere fucking fast. Get your environment clean. Get your brain clean. Get some serious anger fueling yourself. Try to focus yourself. Get going. Motivate your sorry ass to start losing some weight. The internet will not help you. The internet is the greatest distraction ever made by man. You can use it for as much as you want. You want to use it as a distraction, that's great. You want to use it as an educational tool, that's also great. There's no shortage of websites or things online that'll help you fucking drop the weight. Okay, and 300 pounds and 6'2 is not that far gone. I'm 6'2 myself, I was up to 280. You start going for walks around the block, fair ball. Even if you got to, like, have a few puffs on a joint before you go for the walk, just to make it so you can handle the pain of it or whatever, early stages, then do that. But do whatever it takes to get the weight gone. Now, once you're in the military, if you decide to take that route, I'm going to keep going on that route. But let's say you do that. Well, there's all kinds of courses for you to better yourself there. You can get your high school equivalency. You can get out of there. You've got a little bit of service in. You got your high school diploma, maybe a little bit of money saved up. And Bob's your uncle. You're able to go to school, get yourself an education, and you're on your way. But right now, you are staring down the barrel of fuck all. Now, you can sit there and go, oh, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can do this. The only thing that's stopping you is you. But my mom, your mom is nothing. This is an obstacle you are allowing to have in your life. That's fucking ridiculous. My mom won't let me. You're fucking 20 years old. You're a man. Be a man, for fuck's sakes. Take control and go on with your life. Hello? Fuck. I can't stand that. You know, there's so many people that blame everybody else for all their fuck. I cannot help you. You have to help yourself. Your defeatist attitude is going to kick your own ass. If I'm making you mad, good. Get mad. Hate me. Show me up. Fuck yeah. I'll show you, Sean, you fucking loudmouth piece of shit. You bet. Get it going, man. You got to get yourself going. You got everything you need to change your fucking life. You can read. You can write. You can self-educate. You can get yourself going out there. You don't like the military? Fine. Find another option. Go join the fucking Peace Corps or something. But bear in mind that after you burn off some time, what are you going to have at the end of it? You got to consider the economics of this whole fucking deal. What about my mom and my sister? What about them? What about them, dude? You've got to look after yourself first, then worry about other people. The direction, your own personal direction, will come to you as you clean your environment. Think about what I'm saying here. Right now, there's no reason why you just couldn't go begin cleaning your environment and bettering yourself as a human being. There's no fucking thing stopping you other than you. Your lack of motivation. Yeah, I suck. I'm a waste of space. Shut up! That does nothing positive. That does nothing positive. You are a waste of space if you decide to be a waste of space. If you decide to be weak, you're weak. If you don't decide to be, that's a fucking choice. That's all it is. And all these kids who send me these fucking emails, you know, I get these kids, they send me these emails, and they're like, Sean, we're lost in life. Fair ball. Parents are fuck up, sorry about that. Well, I'm here to tell you, the only way you're going to be able to get ahead in life is to take charge of your own fucking life. Don't say you haven't done anything wrong, because quite frankly, you haven't done much of anything. Make some mistakes. Go out there. Fuck it up. Make mistakes, though, that are not, visibly stupid. Like, don't go out there and be like, oh, I'm going to try heroin. No! Wrong! Wrong! Even if people, there's a lot of things to be said for, you know, guaranteed, like, what do they call it, compulsory military service. There's a lot to be said for that. Now, there's some people that clearly have no role in the military, like they should not be there. Case in point, good friend of mine, excellent human being, fine, upstanding individual, a beautiful, beautiful man. Name's Maverick. Nice guy, great guy, would fight and die to protect that guy. But he has no place in the fucking army. Let me tell you, not the kind of place you want to be. Okay, maybe he could probably run a fucking killer shell shock recovery center. I mean, he's just kind of a natural healing kind of person. You know, should be like, could have been like a doctor or something, you know? But in the military, maybe not so much. Now, I'm not saying that people, you know, that's just not because, like, I don't think he would be like a hunter-killer type. I'm pretty sure that you gave him any kind of edged implement, he could probably do some pretty serious damage. He's got that whole Shinto thing on the go. But, I mean, joining the military doesn't mean you have to go in and get a trade where you're, you know, got a knife in your teeth. You could go in and learn a trade like, I don't know, be a truck driver or something. Get yourself a trade where you're going to be able to use it on the civvy street. If you don't want to make a career out of it, fucking rights. Join the Signals Corps or whatever the radio frequency corps is called down in the States. Learn all about satellites, electronic warfare. I mean, Jesus, the world is going faster than ever before. There's a military that's screaming for people, and there's these guys going, dude, I'm going to be homeless. What am I going to do? Well, fuck, man. If your other option is being homeless, then yeah, look at the military. I mean, if you, a lot of people are like, Sean, I can't believe, fucking war, Sean. Jesus, you're sending these kids to die. No, I'm not, actually. Because if I send them out on the fucking street without a plan and tell them to go pray and hope for the best, then I am sending these kids to die. At least in this area, they got some options. So, you know, you, my good man, Shikoa, you've got, or Shiko, sorry, Shikeo, you need to get your fucking shit together. Get a big rubber band, put it around your head, look at yourself in the mirror, and snap yourself the fuck out of it. Because if you don't, you will wind up on the street, you will be going nowhere fast, stop smoking the grass, you shouldn't be smoking it because you don't fucking need to. Stop eating Twinkies, stop eating the junk food, drink some fucking water, and go for a fucking walk. Get a pack, start moving. That's what you gotta do. And if that makes you mad, you don't happen to like that, I'm sorry, dude. But too many people have pandered to you and said, oh, well, you know, it'll be okay. Just do the best you can. The best you can, do better than the best you can. Improve the best you can, and then maybe you'll make it. There's no guarantees here. This is not a storybook. This is your life. And if you don't take charge of it, you are fucked. And there's nothing me or your mom or your sister or the internet or server or anybody can do to change that. You have got to change it for yourself. Now, on that notion, let's get into the news. In accountability news, a 13-year-old Chinese boy jumped to his death last year from a 24-story building, allegedly after playing too much World of Warcraft. I'm playing Warcraft. Ah! Thud! Parents of a boy are now suing the game maker, Blizzard, with the help of a lawyer on internet game and internet game addiction researcher. Mm-hmm. The legal team also plans on filing class action suits against the whole game industry on behalf of other parents. How liable should game developers be for the consumers that use their products? Although unfortunate, this case and the passing blame over the tragic situation seems very similar to the age-old violence and video games debate. This is absolutely ridiculous. Unless they can show some kind of a connection where there is, like, subliminal messages that are telling kids to throw themselves off of buildings playing World of Warcraft, I'm sorry, I can't buy that. It's not like cigarettes, which kill you. Okay, cigarettes kill you. Video games do not kill you. Especially World of fucking Warcraft. Give me a break. It's not even a first-person shooter. Fuck. Anyway, updates. Got an update for you here in food stamp news. Now listen to this one. The U.S. House of Representatives voted on Friday, and I remember I was talking about this before, they were voted on Friday to cut $700 million from the food stamp program, despite objections from the anti-hunger groups complaining that estimates show some 235,000 people would lose benefits. So 235,000 people on food stamps are losing their benefits. I wonder how they choose which 235,000 people those are. The House bill, which has also trimmed other social programs from the poor in an effort to reduce federal spending by $50 billion, was narrowly approved by 217 to 215, so two votes approved it. House and Senate negotiators must now write a final compromise version of legislation to pair federal spending over 5 years. The Senate did not touch food stamps in its version of the $35 billion budget-cutting bill. Food stamps, a major U.S. anti-hunger program, helps poor people buy food. Some 25.8 million Americans receive food stamps in a program run by the U.S. Agricultural Department. That's a lot of fucking people, man. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Saxby Chambliss said through a spokesman that he was aiming for zero cuts in the food stamps during talks with the House. As a committee chairman, the Georgia Republican would be a senior negotiator. The final bill should abandon proposals to cut food stamps, urged Ealing Vollinger of the Food Research Action Center. In nutrition, the Senate did the right thing, she said. I see. Bread for the World, another anti-hunger group, said the prospect of food stamp cuts will make Thanksgiving bleaker for hundreds of thousands of hardworking families. It pointed to government estimates that 38.2 million Americans live in food-insecure households and have trouble buying enough food. Now, this is crazy. House Republican leaders say the cuts are only a sliver of food stamp spending that runs more than $35 billion a year. Earlier this week, House Majority Leader Roy Blunt said the cuts would focus the program on the people you intended to help, rather instead of just adding it at the edges. Well, you know, the food stamp thing, I've never been on food stamps, but being hungry really sucks, I'll tell you that right now. Now, I suppose it would be a fairly accurate thing to say, well, there are people who need help. There are people who need to be on food stamps and all that good stuff. I mean, it's legit stuff. You got the single mom with the six kids or whatever. You know, she's trying to make ends meet. Okay. I would wonder why she has six kids, but I digress. You know, probably, you know, an ounce of prevention would be pretty handy there. But again, you're dealing with the United States, which is largely, you know, they got that whole Christian thing on the go down there. And the Catholics don't believe in birth control. All the rest of it, you know. So when you look at that, you go, all right, well, you know. This is why I'm not really a big fan of child rearing. You know, I mean, you have a kid, there's $500,000 in fines and, you know, a 25-year sentence per child. You know, that's a pretty heavy pill to take. Especially, and this is wild. Do you ever notice that, like, the poor people have tons and tons of kids, and you'll have rich people, well, sometimes if they're really wealthy, they'll have, like, big families. But generally, they only have, like, one or two children because they're, you know, very busy with their lifestyle and stuff like that. Kind of an interesting thing we got going on there. You got this, you got these people living, you know, in various low-income housing with huge families. Why is that? Why is that? Is that because they don't exercise birth control? Is that because of their religious practices? Well, whatever the reason why, they now have greater demands and they're not able to feed their family. Now, in nature, these people starve to death, and that's how nature keeps things in balance. But we're civilized, and we can't really have people starving to death in America because, well, I don't know why we can't have that, but I guess that's bad, you know, because generally starving to death is pretty shitty in a civilized world. So again, you know, what do you do in a situation like this? I don't know. But if you keep letting people, you know, drain off of, you know, the mass, like if you have, let's say you got 25 million people here. Let's assume that 20 million of them are totally legit, hardworking people that need the stamps. 5 million people are just fucking lazy, okay? Say one-fifth of those groups are just fucking lazy. Now, some people say, Sean, I can't believe you're saying this. My God, man. No, dude, come on. We all know people that have either been on social assistance or all that kind of shit that are just fucking lazy. They don't want to work. So what do you do about that? You know what I'm saying? There's got to be a way you got to try to trim that down. And no matter what you do that, that's going to be going down. You know, I mean, people are going to be freaking out, yelling and screaming. So you got to have some kind of a way to get, you know, the people who need the aid, get them the fucking aid. I'm not against aid for people. I think welfare is a great idea. But you got to make sure it goes to the right people and not people who are exploiting the system. Now, in Judge Dredd news, this is some shit here. Listen to this. Britain's top police officer was accused last night. Accused of paving the way for Judge Dredd law. And this is right from the article here. By proposing that officers should be allowed to bypass the courts and confiscate driver's licenses, seize vehicles, and use antisocial behavior orders on the spot. Whoa. The Metropolitan Police Commissioner, this is in England now, Sir Ian Blair, said modernization, quote-unquote, of the force should be carried forward by introducing an escalator of powers for the dispensing of instant justice.
Hoorah.
One idea is to have some police officers paid more and with more powers to impose an interim anti-social behavior order, for instance, or suspend a driver's license, he said. This would have an immediate effect rather than waiting for an intervention by the courts. Sir Ian suggested this. He acknowledged by giving police powers currently exercised only by the courts would be controversial and could be seen as legitimate if they were used properly, if they were used by properly trained constables. Now, this is, he's absolutely correct here. The thing is that you can't have these constables becoming corrupt. That's very, very difficult to do. There is something here about making justice more immediately apparent, not only to the offender, but to the society that, the offender is irritating, Sir Ian said. However, Shami Chakrabarty, the director of human rights group Liberty, said Sir Ian was behaving like Judge Dredd in the post-apocalyptic comic book Law Enforcer, whose catchphrase is, "I am the law."
I am the law.
She added, "This is more like summary justice, which has no place in democracy." He's supposed to be the Metropolitan Commissioner, not Judge Dredd. Sir Ian should concentrate on the difficult job of running the Metropolitan Police rather than working on political speeches arguing for ever more draconian laws. You know, I don't know. You look at this and you say, well, you know, there's definitely a lot of opportunity here for the cops to you know, fuck with you. But who are the cops fucking with? Let's take a big step back here. Okay, let's say they bring this law in. They bring in the Judge Dredd law. Hell, let's say they go worst case scenario. Let's really give them some power. Okay, they can actually throw you in jail for up to 30 days without trial, without fuck all. You do 30 days. Okay? Now, do you think that, do you think the cops are going to be wandering into your house, kicking open your door, grabbing you off your couch as you're playing your video games and saying, "That's it, you're going to jail for 30 days. No. No, they're not. They're not going to be doing that. What are they going to be doing this for? They're going to be doing this for people who are rioting, people causing problems, people, quote-unquote, irritating society. Well, as a member of society, you know, we've all seen these assholes who are out there, you know, causing fucking problems, drunk idiots, causing shit. People getting attacked and all the rest of it, and the cops show up and they can't do nothing about it, you know. Guys beating the wife across the street. Nobody wants to do anything. Cops are there 5-6 times. Well, if you get Judge Dredd in there, he shows up and says, "Right, motherfucker, you're going to jail for 30 days. Punt, that's it, you're gone." Woo, look at that. We had some results. I'm beginning to wonder if maybe these laws aren't such a bad idea. Realistically. People are like, "Oh my God, Sean, I can't believe you said that." Well, dude, hang on now. The laws are only bad if they are abused. Some people would say, well, obviously they're going to be abused. Well, no. You could have corrupt police, and this is the problem in a lot of these third world nations. You wind up with hardcore corrupt police, i.e. Mexico, where the cops aren't paid shit, blah, 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 blah. You have to make sure that you have watchdog organizations. That's why if you had cops with this kind of power, you'd have to have them cameras on the cops so the people could review the footage and say, yeah, okay, this guy was being a freak show. He shows up, takes a look at the evidence. You know, he's, make sure you get the right kind of cop in there and say, yeah, okay, well, this guy, you know, this isn't the first time I've been here. It doesn't mean they have to do this every time. They could show up and say, well, whatever. And suddenly people would be, oh my God, afraid of the police again. People would actually have to show respect to cops. What a concept. Holy shit. Actually respect police officers. Oh my God, now I'm just talking crazy. But, you know, they would definitely be able to affect change. Maybe we should try it on, you know, like a 6-month clause. Let's give it a year, maybe 2 years. Say, okay, we're going to try this for 2 years. At the end of the 2 years, we're going to take another look at it and see whether or not we're going to keep that there. Or maybe a year. Because realistically, you know, when you look at things like what the fuck's going on in Paris, where they had all these fires and riots and people lighting shit on fire. I'm homeless, so I'm going to burn the world. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm not homeless, and I don't want you burning my shit. So, you know. Now, here's a fucked up story here. Now, here's where you need Judge Dredd to handle something like this. Listen to this one here. In child experimentation news, sick story here. Public comments are now being accepted by the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, on its newly proposed federal regulation regarding the testing of chemicals and pesticides on human subjects. Testing on humans. On August 2, 2005, Congress had mandated the EPA create a rule that permanently bans chemical testing on pregnant women and children. You'd think that would be in the common sense category. But the EPA's newly promised rule, misleadingly titled Protections for Subjects in Human Research, puts industry profits ahead of children's welfare. What are the odds? The rule allows for government and industry scientists to treat children as human guinea pigs in chemical experimentation in the following situations. Number one, children who cannot be reasonably consulted. This is interesting. Such as those that are mentally handicapped or orphan newborns may be tested on. So if they're unwanted children, you can test on them. With permission from the institution or guardian in charge of the individual, the child may be exposed to chemicals for the sake of research. Holy shit. Number two, parental consent forms are not necessary for testing on children who have been neglected or abused. So, you know, if the parents are kicking the shit out of the kids, it's okay for Monsanto to do it too. Number three, chemical studies on any children outside of the United States are acceptable. They're brown people. Who cares? Okay, now this shit here, this is not on. Okay, I'm sorry, you know, for all of you, you know, really hardcore rabid right-wingers who are currently listening to the show going, my God, Sean has come over to the right. No, 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 no. You do not do experimentation on children. I will personally cut up an orangutan with an X-Acto knife rather than harming one fucking hair on a child's head. Okay? Fuck this. This is garbage. There's no way this should be allowed. This is insane. This is literally the core political farming of humans. This is absolutely insane. Now, you can go following this link, and there's a letter that you can send to the EPA here. All right? The IRB, Independent Review Board, shall determine that adequate provisions are made for soliciting the assent of the children when in the judgment of the IRB the children are capable of providing assent. If the IRB determines that the capability of some of those or all of the children is so limited that they cannot be reasonably consulted, these means that the kids who are sick and they can't have anything else done for them, the assent of the children is not necessarily conditioned for the proceeding with the research. Even when the IRB determines that the subjects are capable of assenting, the IRB may still waive the assentment requirement. Under this note, under this clause, a mentally handicapped child or infant orphan could be tested on without assent. This violates the Nuremberg Code, an international treaty that mandates assent of test subjects is absolutely essential. This is like Nazi-level human experimentation shit going on here. And that the test subject must have legal capacity to give consent and must be so situated as to exercise free power of choice. This loophole in the rule must be completely removed. Now, you know, it'd be different if they were talking about, you know, some kind of like really severe sex offender criminal or something like that. I might be a little bit more, a little bit more open to some ideas here. We could talk about it. But the concept of taking the hurt and the weak children, abused children, handicapped children, who, you know, should be cared for in some capacity, and doing experimentation on them, I'm sorry, that's fucked up. And I'm pretty sure that if you were to ask Judge Dredd about that, he'd be like, well, no, I don't think so. Further to that, let's go find the people who passed these laws, because me and my bolt thrower want to have a word with them. Now, in a little bit more positive light and microscope news, a Stanford University research team has designed the first microscope sensitive enough to track real-time motion of a single protein down to the level of individual atoms. This is quite the microscope. Writing a November 13th online issue of Journal Nature, the Stanford researcher explains how a new instrument is allowing them to settle long-term scientific debates about the way genes are copied from DNA, a biochemical process that is essential to life. On a second paper published in the November 8th online issue of the Journal of Physical Review Letters, the scientists offered a detailed description of their novel device, an advanced version of the optical trap, which uses infrared light to trap and control the forces of a functional protein, allowing researchers to monitor the molecule's every move in real time. Now, you got to wonder what they're going to be able to do with a microscope like this. It's a pretty sexy piece of gear. And definitely the kind of thing that we'd want to have, you know, to get a hold of in our society. I mean, we need to be able to do this kind of research. And, you know, it's nice to see that people are still trying to get, you know, these microscopes to this level. I think that that's very positive. It's a very positive sign. But I don't think we should be using these microscopes on fucking children. Just me. Now, in Canadian web law news, now this has just came down the pipe. As expected, the government today, this was a few days ago now, unveiled Bill C-74, the modernization of Investigation Techniques Act, better known as Lawful Access. Okay, now this is all Canadian stuff here. Since I'm a tunist, this is the guy who's reading this, this guy wrote the article here, I'm relying on the various releases from PERSEP, the ministry responsible for the bill. I'll update this posting as needed once I've had a chance to fully digest the bill. You can now check out the bill yourself online. There's a link to it there. Based on the PSEP-C information, there are two key elements to this bill. This is this bill C-74. First, telephone and internet service providers will be required to include an interception capability as they introduce new technologies. So that means that any new phones you get, new phone services have to be able to be tapped. Not all ISPs will be immediately affected, however, since those with over 100,000 subscribers will be exempted from the technological mandate for 3 years. So they've given a bit of a clause there, let the furor die down, and then bam, they're going to have it. Those ISPs subjected to the law will have 1 year to comply. Access to this information will be subject to court oversight. Second, law enforcement will be able to compel ISPs to disclose subscriber information, including name, address, IP address, telephone number, and cell phone number. It would appear that such information can be compelled without judicial oversight. The so-called rigorous oversight is basically limited to recording the requests and creating the prospect for audits on this use of power. A few comments on the MITA, M-I-T-A, and government spin on the bill. First, the government is clearly trying to convince Canadians that we are playing catch-up on the issue, as is provided in a chronology illustrating how the U.S. and U.K., Australia, and New Zealand have already moved forward with this intercept legislation. So it's like, oh yeah, everybody's doing it, we got to do it too. This should not be viewed as a particularly persuasive. There are crucial elements in the Canadian legal framework, national privacy legislation, and the Charter of Rights, that differ from those countries. Moreover, Canada is free to choose its own path and to create Canadian provisions that better reflect the national priorities and values. Now, that's an interesting thought, but in the really real world, we have to be online economically, otherwise, you know, we get our ass kicked. He goes on to say here, second, the government seeks to assure Canadians that their privacy will be protected within the oversight described above. In fact, one document downplays the sensitivity of the information, likening it to basic contact information found in a phone book. Unfortunately, the bill does precisely what privacy advocates warned against by increasing surveillance and decreasing oversight. The oversight included in the bill is weak since it all occurs after the disclosure has been made. What is needed is oversight before the disclosure to ensure that the proper privacy safeguards are maintained. Moreover, we should not be lulled into thinking that the information is not sensitive. The information can hold a key to a wide array of additional information that can be exceptionally revealing. As we learned with this week's McLean story, it isn't the phone numbers that matters. It's what the phone numbers can lead to, and the same situation applies to ISP subscriber information. Now, there are those that would wonder, what the fuck is the big deal here? You know, it's not like I'm doing anything wrong. I mean, there is that argument to it. If you're not doing anything wrong, then I guess you don't have anything to worry about. There is that. Do I agree with that? I don't know. I mean, everybody's got some pirated software. Just about everybody on their own PC has got some pirated software. So does that mean that we, use this all massive? Is this all just a scare tactic, or is this just a method for the government to use whim laws to throw us all in jail? Kind of an interesting question there. Today's Daily Hack is a pretty good one. Now, I found this one myself. I'm pretty pleased with this one here. This is from the DARPA IPTO, Improving Warfighter. That's the new term for it now. It was warrior, soldier, and then it went to warrior. Now it's warfighter. Improving warfighter information intake under stress. Interesting. The mission statement here, this is quite the sight. The mission of this DARPA program, DARPA, the same guys who brought you the internet and everything else, is to extend by an order of magnitude or more the information management capability of the human-computer warfighting integral by developing and demonstrating quantifiable enhancements to human performance in diverse, stressful operational environments. So how to make your brain work better when you're under stress. Specifically, this program will empower one human's ability to successfully accomplish the functions currently carried out by three or more individuals. Very interesting stuff. So how to give one person the brain computing power of three people. The main goal of this program is to develop a closed-loop computational system in which the computer adapts to the state of the warfighter to significantly improve performance. This is all man-machine brain interface stuff. And there's lots of articles here. Very, very interesting for those of us who are kind of, into what's happening with the bleeding-edge cyberpunk stuff, uploading the brain and making the brain work. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This would be a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 11 one-time donators, 52 continuing subscribers, 2 new subscribers, for a total of 65. If you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please feel free to visit rantmedia.ca and click on the Donate tab. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any of the pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Mind Confusion, Lost Within the Decaying Fragments of Chaos is the name of the album. That's a pretty wild album. Lost Within the Decaying Fragments of Chaos. And I'm going to leave you now with a killer track. A remix of Welcome to the Machine, the techno ambient remix, which is pretty appropriate for today's show. We're all going to the future, so you better be ready for it because it's not going to wait for you to catch up. So until tomorrow, that is what Server said. End of line.